June 25th, 2025. It's a special planning board meeting.
Problem solved.
This meeting's been advertised pursuant to Public Law 231, also known as the Open Public Meeting Act. And can we go to a flag salute, please?
I said it was in a group. So if he got the agenda, then he would
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Adams.
Here.
Mr. Allegretto.
Here.
Mr. Barnes.
Here.
Mr. Becker.
Here.
Mr. Birch.
Here.
Mrs. Halliday. Mr. Jessel.
Here.
Mr. Loper.
Here.
Mr. Shepherd.
Here.
Mr. Stell. Dr. Vandeshore. Mrs. Halliday.
Here.
Under new business, we have the proposed fourth round of the housing element and the fair share plan. Dottie? Or Dorothy McCrofton?
Good evening. For the record, Dorothy McCrofton, I'm city solicitor for the city of Ocean City. And I'm here with Dan Levin from Acuity, which is our affordable housing consultant tonight. As you may be aware, every 10 years, New Jersey goes through a process of calculating and then requiring the fulfillment of municipal obligations to provide affordable housing within a town. It used to be that there was a council on affordable housing, which would participate in this process. In the third round, 10 years ago, COA was basically not active. No governor had appointed sufficient members for COA to operate. So the whole process is overseen by the Superior Court of New Jersey. On behalf of the city, we filed a declaratory judgment action in July of 2015 and began the process of determining our obligation and how the city was going to fulfill it. We partnered with the Housing Authority for a lot of the projects in the last round, and it was very successful. City Council and the Mayor were extremely generous in working with the Housing Authority because of the importance they place on the residents of that community and future residents of that community, the present residents of whom were living in old 1960s era housing, which had already been flooded out by Superstorm Sandy. So through shared services agreement with the Housing Authority, the city sponsored the creation of 10 scattered site duplexes, duplex units, so 5 duplexes throughout the town, which are rented on an affordable basis to income-qualifying folks. And those are completed and built. The city built Spytel Manor in front of Bayview Manor on the Housing Authority parking lot there at 6th and West to replace 20 senior housing units in Pex Beach Village. But the city built, with the Housing Authority, 32 units. Because while you're there and you're mobilized, why not build some extra ones? We know there will be the need. That project is done. We were committed to do 3 market to affordable units where the city buys a unit at market rate, cleans it up, rehabs it, does whatever necessary to make sure it's saleable, and then sells it to an income qualifying family at an affordable rate with the city subsidizing the difference. And the property is deed restricted for 30 years so that if that family, which has gotten a leg up, moves on to somewhere else, the next family that moves in is also income qualifying. We've done one of those. We still owe 2 of those. The market being what it is, it's been difficult to find qualifying units for that. The biggest obligation that we had from the last round was to create 60 family units, and we partnered with the Housing Authority and have committed to helping finance the construction of 60 new units. They will be in duplex and triplex configurations, restoring the street on Haven Avenue so that it goes down the street, and that neighborhood will look like any other neighborhood in town. It will not look like you're driving into the project. And this was Mayor Gillian's concept to ensure that kids who are living there, they go home, their house looks like everybody else's house, so that they can have the same pride in their home that all their friends have in their homes. That has not broken ground yet. We expect it to break ground in September. And the delay has been, you know, COVID slowed it down a little bit. But in addition to that, federal funds became available to be contributed to that project. So they had to jump through many hoops, not just state hoops, but federal hoops to get that funding. They've done an amazing job. They've got it financed with the help of Ocean City. And that will be 60 units, the entire north side of 4th Street, plus units on the south side of 4th Street. So now, 10 years later, we have to go through this process again. And instead of the court overseeing the process, the State Department of Community Affairs has taken the reins. And they've done all the calculations. They divided the state into six regions. We're in Region 6 with Atlantic County, Cape May County, Cumberland County, and Salem County. And using the census and other data, they figure out what the regional need is for affordable housing, and then what each municipality's obligation is to contribute to the regional need. Two kinds of need, prospective and present. Present need is essentially, excuse me, rehabilitation. Are there homes in Ocean City that are more than 50 years old and or need to complete their or upgrade their kitchen facilities, their bath facilities, the exterior of their homes? So we undertook a windshield survey of the town. The construction official and his staff went out, drove the town, created a list to see which properties might qualify for this kind of assistance. Whether the occupant qualifies or not is another question. Then with respect to the prospective need, what is our obligation to create affordable housing? We take a look at where is there available vacant land. So Acuity, thank you. Sorry. Acuity and our staff have undertaken a vacant land analysis, and Dan Levin will explain to you what the results of that were, but that is part of a plan that we will submit to council tomorrow night for adoption, and which we will file with the state of New Jersey saying, here's how Ocean City proposes to address its affordable housing obligation. We'll file that. We will commit to following that plan using our very generous development fee funded Affordable Housing Trust Fund, which may be the largest in the state because of the development that's occurred in Ocean City and all the funds that we've collected. The documents that you have in front of you and that we'll present to council tomorrow night and file with the state have a plan of what we expect to collect over the next 10 years and how we expect to deploy those funds. It's a plan, things change, but we are required to project what will happen with those funds. With that, I'd like to introduce Dan and let him take you through our plan.
Thank you. Do I need to be sworn in?
Yes, Dan, I'm going to do that right now. It's the testimony you're about to give this evening. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth shall be God.
I do.
And if you could just state your first name, spell your last name for the purposes of the record, please.
Dan Levin, L-E-V-I-N. I'm a licensed planner with Acuity Consulting Services. And Donnie pretty much he took a lot of things that I was going to discuss about the plan in a good way. What the plan before the board tonight is part of a required component of the master plan, and this will be the along with the land use plan element or one of the only two required elements for a master plan, and it's also to keep in accordance with the requirements of the Fair Housing Act of the state of New Jersey. What this plan in front of you does. It meets the statutory requirements to comply with the MLUL and Fair Housing Act. It identifies the compliance mechanisms that Ocean City used to meet the prior third-round obligations that Dottie mentioned. And then identifies the compliance mechanisms that Ocean City will be using to meet its fourth round obligations. She already went through sort of what changed between the prior round's process of determining numbers and obligations in this round, so I'm going to skip over that. The prior round, so the city combined its third round and prior round obligations into a single agreement, settlement agreement with Fair Share Housing, that identified realistic development potential of 8 units for the prior round and the unmet, and the third round was 59 total. And as mentioned, the city has planned to meet those obligations through a variety of different compliance mechanisms. The Ocean City Housing Authority property is not yet being completed, but that is still on the books for this plan to meet that obligation. For the fourth round, as mentioned, a vacant land adjustment or vacant land analysis was undertaken. That vacant land analysis identified that there is no land that would be suitable for the development of an inclusionary housing development. That's an important distinction. It's not that there couldn't be any development on any of these sites whatsoever. It's that they're either too small or they're encumbered by Rossi or there's an environmental encumbrance on that land that would preclude the development of an inclusionary development. So at least 5 units per acre to create a 1 affordable unit set aside. So that essentially set the obligation from 68 units, which is what DCA determined the number was for the fourth round, down to 0. However, the amended Fair Housing Act has some very interesting language in there that no one is really quite sure how this is going to shake out. Fair Share Housing has an opinion, other attorneys have differing opinions, and the position that we have taken is such, and I'll explain what that language is. It says, the amended Fair Housing Act requires that a municipality identify sufficient parcels likely to redevelop during the current round of obligations to address at least 25% of the prospective need obligation. That's the 68 units. That has been adjusted, so that is adjusted down to 0. If possible, and adopt realistic zoning that allows for such adjusted obligation, or demonstrate why the municipality is unable to do so. As mentioned, it's not entirely clear if that is you have to complete 25% of your entire obligation, 25% of what was adjusted. In this case, it would be the entire obligation. But regardless, 25% of 68 is 17 units. And so, was it Spitel Tower, that's how it's pronounced? There are an additional 12 units that the city could not claim for credit in the third round because it had reached its senior cap. So we are crediting those units back to the fourth round to meet 12 out of the 17 or potential 17 unit obligation. And then the existing ordinances that were adopted during the third round are going to be used to meet the obligation in the fourth round. And those ordinances are the inclusionary housing option in business zone districts, the inclusionary R2 zone districts, assemblage, incentive overlay, and the municipal set aside ordinance. So those were accepted by Fair Share Housing as suitable to address the unmet need for the city in the third round. This will be submitted to DCA for the fourth round, and that is how the city is going to demonstrate that it will meet its fourth round obligation. And this time, I'm happy to answer any questions the board or the public may have.
We'll open it to the public at the end, but does the board have any questions at this point?
What's the time frame for this fourth round?
10 years. So starting July 1st of 2025 through June 30th of 2035.
Thank you.
So once the council passes it, hopefully tomorrow night, what's the next step? So where does it go then?
Right.
Should we anticipate hearing back?
So this is
great planning, we're good to go.
Yeah, so this is a document of the planning board, actually. So the planning board adopts this, and then the council will, I think it's approve the plan, and then it's going to be submitted within 48 hours, it's required to be submitted to DCA. at which point in time it's going to sit for 60 days, at which point there is a period for objectors to come forward and say, I want to be included in the plan doesn't meet the obligations, blah, 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 blah. And then if there are any such objections that are filed with the program, which can come from anywhere, the city will have the opportunity to respond to those objections, and depending on the nature of those objections, amend its plan, enter into new negotiations, etc.
Negotiations with who? Fair Housing?
It depends on who the objector is. Fair Share Housing could object. Developers can object to become interveners if they want their project in the plan. Members of the public can certainly object to the validity of this plan or any plan for that matter. So it just depends on what comes forward in those 60 days.
Does that often happen?
Well, it's never happened because this process is completely new. This process has, before it was entirely ad hoc, you made an agreement with Fair Share Housing. You had a special master who was overseeing the agreement process. Occasionally there were interveners as part of, if there was a builder's remedy litigation that was ongoing, but very rarely would you have, you know, something as formal as this. This is a completely new process. Everything is centralized now. Everything is going through DCA. They have special adjudicators now, which is kind of like a court master, is my understanding, to handle disputes that may arise as part of the program. But there's now a centralized opportunity for, you know, people to submit. So we've never seen this, at least I've never seen anything like this before. So we're all entering very new territory here.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing none, I'm going to open it up to the public.
Thank you.
I'd like a motion to open it to the public.
So moved, Justin.
Do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Under new business, we're at the fourth round proposal of the housing element. Is there anyone from the public have any comment? Please come forward at this time. Seeing no public, I'd like to close the public. Do I have a motion?
Motion, Jessel.
Second, Barnes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. To our solicitor for a motion.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The presentation of Mrs. LaCrosse and Mr. Levin has been put before you. It has been circulated to you for your consideration this evening. A draft of a resolution. Normally, a little bit different than our normal procedure, but in anticipation of a vote this evening, the chair can entertain a motion in the affirmative, and I'll take it right from the resolution that's been circulated. And the planning board shall adopt the housing element and the Fair Share plan for round 2025 documentation that's been submitted. It's a simple motion. Chair entertains the motion in the affirmative. That with the resolution that's been circulated, there are certain items that need to be completed, such as the vote. However, I anticipate a unanimous vote by this board in favor of this project and documentation. Madam Secretary is going to have to fill in the names of whoever makes the motion in a second. But what you've seen is what the chair will adopt and can adopt it by an affirmative vote. So if someone make that motion in a second, cast your ballot.
Based on what we've heard from our solicitor, do I have a motion?
Becker.
Do I have a second?
Second, Mr. Chair.
Can we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Allegretto?
Yes.
Mr. Barnes?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mr. Jessel?
Yes.
Mr. Shepard?
Yes.
Mr. Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Birch?
Yes.
Mrs. Halliday?
Yes.
Mr. Loper?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you
very much. Thank you. That's it. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Seven.
Second.
Second.
Birch.
All in favor?
Aye.